Thank you for all the wonderful musical offerings this morning, both from choir here and to our youth choir members enjoying their holiday party up there. It's made a very festive, I've made a very festive day today. To which I will add a few words. When he was in his mid-30s, Lawrence Ferlinghetti wrote a poem called I Am Waiting, part of a small collection of his work that he published clear back in 1958, a little collection of poems called A Coney Island of the Mind. I'm going to read a few brief excerpts from I Am Waiting. This is a recent edition of that book. It's sort of a tribute to the longevity of his writing that this book, published in 1958, continues to be reissued. I'll read a few lines from this. I am waiting for my case to come up, and I am waiting for a rebirth of wonder, and I am waiting for someone to really discover America. I am waiting for the grapes of wrath to be stored, and I am waiting for them to prove that God really is American, and I'm seriously waiting for Billy Graham and Elvis Presley to exchange roles seriously. I am waiting for the meat to be blessed and inherit the earth without taxes, and I am waiting for forests and animals to reclaim the earth as theirs. And I'm waiting for a way to be devised to destroy all nationalisms without killing anybody. And I'm waiting for lovers and weepers to lie down together again in a new rebirth of wonder. I'm waiting for life to begin. And I'm waiting for the storms of life to be over. And I'm waiting to set sail for happiness. I'm waiting to get some intimations of immortality by recollecting my early childhood. And I am waiting for some strains of unpremeditated art to shape my typewriter. And I am waiting to write the great indelible poem. And I am perpetually waiting for the fleeting lovers on the Grecian urn to catch each other up at last and embrace. And I am awaiting perpetually and forever a renaissance of wonder. Mr. Ferlinghetti is now 90 years old, still going strong. He still owns the same City Lights bookstore in San Francisco that he opened up in 1952 when he was 33. He's become something of an institution in that city, was named their poet laureate 10, 11 years ago in 1998. Being so honored has taken little, if anything, from his poetic and artistic and political cutting edge. His life story itself is a very fascinating one. I'm only going to briefly recount it here. Larry Ferlinghetti was raised in Italian neighborhoods in the New York City area, spent a few years in France due to a rather unusual family situation. When he was a teenager, he achieved the rank of Eagle Scout. He was a Navy Lieutenant Commander in the Second World War, took part in the D-Day invasion of Normandy. Before leaving the service, near the end of the war, he was in Nagasaki, Japan, just a few weeks after the atomic bomb was dropped on that city. Following the war, he earned a doctorate at the Sorbonne in Paris, came to San Francisco to be an English professor, discovered that the academic life was not for him, and so with a business partner, he opened up the City Lights bookstore, founded the City Lights Press, for some of the young and aspiring poets and writers who were coming into their own at that time, including Allen Ginsberg, who was one of the first people to publish the Beat Generation writers. And he's still out there, say 90 years old, still very much a part of San Francisco's artistic, poetic, bohemian community. Like many of his generation, the Second World War was a major formative event in Lawrence's life. Maybe other people have noticed these kinds of things, but I can't help but notice how the experiences of that war resulted in such differing post-war lives on the part of some of those who took part in it. Same war, radically different effects. The general, Dwight Eisenhower, who commanded the D-Day invasion, went on to serve two terms as President of the United States. While a naval commander named Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who helped carry that invasion forward, he was a part of that invasion, he became a radical kind of quasi-anarchist, quasi-socialist, anti-establishment poet, novelist, and painter, and is now recognized as some sort of a bohemian great-granddaddy. I would say that each of these gentlemen, in their very different ways, have been very good and loyal Americans. Ferlinghetti acknowledged that it was his being in Nagasaki in the immediate aftermath of the nuclear bombing there that significantly altered the course of his life. The The mass death and destruction that he witnessed brought home to him the realization that the humankind was now indeed capable of destroying itself, if not the very planet we inhabit. And his belief that our government had been less than forthcoming about what the actual effect of an atomic bomb would be on a civilian population left him with a basic distrust of those who hold power in powerful nations, even the most free and democratic of societies. But his poetry, for all of that, is largely free of political dogma or cunt. Many of his poems celebrate what common American people doing common American things. His work is often whimsical. It can alternate from being lighthearted and even deliberately silly in places, like seriously waiting for Billy Graham and Elvis Presley to seriously exchange places. Or it can become cutting, it can become a little biting. I'm waiting for them to prove that God is really American. He can be, and often is, a romantic, but then he quickly becomes a hard-nosed activist and advocate. I think he's one of my favorite beat writers for beat poets for all of those reasons. And whether he intended it this way or not, his phrase in the poem I just read, "I'm waiting for a rebirth of wonder," speaks to, I think, the broader theme of this season that we are still in, is moving towards its conclusion. I spoke about Advent using Samuel Beckett a few weeks ago. I'm now switching off to Lawrence Ferlinghetti. I'm going to use the language of his text just to offer a few thoughts on what I think it means for us to be agents or bearers of a rebirth of wonder in this Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, winter holiday season, which comes to us and is celebrated in so many ways. For when you look at Mr. Ferlinghetti's life within the larger, or his poem, in the larger context of his life, while I've just briefly presented it, it should be quite clear that when he says, "I am waiting," he's not writing about passivity. For just as there is active listening, which means being actively engaged with the person to whom you're listening, so is there such a thing, I believe, as active waiting, meaning being actively engaged in all that you are waiting for. Now, to be sure, as daylight hours grow short, in ways we've already touched on this morning, in that kind of a situation, we can only wait for the return of the light. There are some things that nature just does, and we deal with that, and we await upon it, same as the snow that continues to fall this morning. But how we become people of the light, people of enlightenment, people of hope, people or agents of wonder, that part's in our hands, in our hearts, within the capacity of the power that we do possess. And to be a part of a community such as this one, in fact, is to be people who believe in such a way, who wait and await upon such a way, in such a way. What then does it mean to be agents of rebirth, agents of wonder? Well, to wonder, as I'm using the term here, is to ponder possibilities. It is, to phrase the late Robert Kennedy, to imagine things as they might yet be and ask why not. Lots of ways I could come at this question, but I'll answer my own question in a personal way, with the understanding probably that my personal reflections go beyond myself. The truth I have come to at this point in my life is that I was born into a highly imperfect world. I will live out my life in an imperfect world. And I will leave plenty of imperfections behind me when I take leave of it. So the question I've come to ask at this point is not what do I expect or what do I await upon on the part of the world around me. Rather, it's what do I expect of myself in relation to it, given the time I'm given to live here. I do expect of myself to be at various times excited, troubled, saddened, amused, joyful, grief-stricken, angered, frustrated, as well as inspired and uplifted. As I look to the world around me with as clear an eye and as open and informed a mind as I can muster, In fact, the only response that would make me disappointed in myself as I do my own active waiting would be to have no response at all, to be indifferent. I do not expect, I'm certainly not waiting, for the world to dance to my tune or conduct itself completely in accordance with my values. But I do expect of myself that I will remain engaged with it, that I will keep faith with it. I do expect and actively await of myself that I will continue to hold to those positive human values that I know we all in this room share. Human values about human worth and dignity, about justice and compassion, about overcoming violence and standing for peace, for promoting human community. I expect, or at least hope of myself, that I will advance these values whenever, wherever, under whatever circumstances I have the occasion to do so. And I believe that it is this kind of active awaiting that we are each and all called to do. As we draw upon the talents, the abilities, the unique gifts we've each been given, and which enable us to be about such a calling. For this is part of what it means to be a member of a community of hope, a community of wonder, a community of possibility, which is what we strive to be.
Well, I'll just do without the mic and everybody else to hear for a while. I hope that you will each give yourself some time for the next coming days to do a little wonder. In addition to some of the out there wondering of possibilities I've already suggested, bring it into your own lives as well. What are some of your own what ifs? And how can you actively await upon them? At one point in our text, Lawrence says, "I am waiting to write the great indelible poem." I can't say for sure what he had in mind when he wrote those particular lines, but I like to think of it as meaning or asking, what poems, what creations, what acts of creativity are still waiting for any of us to accomplish? Try thinking on these things in the days ahead. And finally, in this season, I see in the Christmas legend or myth, I see there a story of a rebirth of wonder. I think Anya touched on this too in that very wonderful passage she shared with us during the words for reflection. It's a story about the rebirth of wonder. The metaphor or the myth of a child who embodies, who makes flesh the holy, is a way of saying that that which is greater than ourselves comes to us not as a supreme being, but as I suggested a few moments ago, or a few weeks ago, rather as a fellow traveler. Fellow traveler who reminds us that we already have what we need for our life journey if we dare use it. I see Jesus as being one of many wise and holy persons who have come into our midst over the course of human history just to offer us such a reminder that we have what we need. We can trust and believe in ourselves enough to use it. I am awaiting perpetually and forever Renaissance of wonder. What I wait for and dare to anticipate for all of us in this holy season is that light and love and truth and joy will find their ways of coming to us, of coming into our lives. I know this has not been an easy fall for many of us in our midst. Just got a reminder of this past week, shared during joys and concerns when Cindy very suddenly lost her father. I know illnesses have been visited upon some of us. Some of us lost family members, loved ones, or attending to family members whose health is failing. We're always in need of one another. My hope is that in the midst of and whatever our joys and concerns, whatever our sorrows and our blessings, I hope in this season we will each find transformation in our lives. We will be bearers of joy and wonder for others. As we hear the stories, the many stories that are told at this time of year, I hope that in one way or another, somehow or other, we can each of us find in them our own story. find the story we were telling with our lives, and see our story afresh, and see it anew. So may new possibilities come to us, and with them may also come the wonder of what yet may be. Let us take what comes to us and use it to be bearers of life, beginning with the light we each and all have been given, and then moving out the light that surges all around us. With these thoughts, I do wish each of you the very happiest of holidays. I invite you to close this service by singing together hymn number 123, Once in Royal.